the church. But yeah, it's so good to have Theo part of our team. It's absolutely beautiful. Let's just pray for Theo before she brings us the word. God, thank you for our sister Theo. And we pray, Lord, that may your grace just cover her and your spirit just cover her. That which comes out of her will be life. And I also pray for us, Lord, that it will be just open up. We'll just be opening up our hearts and ears to hear from you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning, Flood. It always feels weird to say good morning now just because of how hot it is. I'm tempted to say good afternoon. But either way, good morning. I'm happy to be with you guys in this building, and also welcome to everybody watching us online. Thank you for joining us. So today we're finishing off our sermon series of What Keeps You Going. We've been going through the series for the past 2 months. So this will be our final, the final one in the series. So we're talking today, we're going to be basically talking about what keeps you going in the face of loss. And I think each one of us has faced a loss at one point or another. You know, it could have been a loss of a house, a loss of a family member, a loss of a friend, loss of a relationship. You know, all of those are losses that have impacted us one way or another. And we're going to look at loss through the lens of one man who I think knows loss more than anybody else that ever lived. And this is Job. Now, I will say that when I saw that I am teaching on this particular subject, and it's from the book of Job, I thought, surely Pastor Humphreys must hate me, because the book of Job is just one I have ran away from a lot of my life. I kind of stay away because I'm like, yeah, there's just a lot of pain there. You know, so much pain. I don't see a lot of hope. And so, I want to run away from that. And so when I got this and I was like, oh no, here we are. There's no running. I thought, okay, let's see what this is about. So we're going to be looking at chapter 10. But before that, where we find Job in this particular story is that Job was a very wealthy man. He was a wealthy man in his land. And the story goes in the first chapter where the devil and God are having a conversation. And God says, have you seen my person, Job? He is obedient. He is a great human being. He just follows me, you know. If maybe there were to be a favorite, he would have said, this is my favorite, you know. But he really was appreciating Job. And the devil says, you know what? He's just obeying you because all is well right now. You have protected him. You have helped him prosper. You have made everything in his life go well. Who wouldn't praise you if everything is going on well? You know? And maybe we can relate to that, you know? When you're broke, it's a little hard to call on the praises. When you hear that notification from the bank that the money's in, it's hallelujah, Jesus. You don't even have to struggle. It just comes out, right? And so the devil's like, that's the whole point. You have protected him. Therefore, he can go ahead and obey you. So God says, okay, then go on and strike him and see. But I'm telling you, my guy Job, he will stick with me. So the devil goes on and does his worst. In one day, Job receives almost four messages. One that comes in and says, all of your livestock have died. Another one says, all the land that you had, the buildings that you had, all burnt down. All the farming things that you had there, your crops all gone. And another comes and says, all your children have died. There was an attack and all of them have died. Job had 10 children, all of them gone in one instance. And this was in one day, one after another, these messages came through. So then, Job still does not curse God. He does not turn on God. And the devil says, you know what? You are still protecting him. You are protecting him. There's nothing that's happened to him specifically. It's happened around him, but not to him. So God says, well then, go do your thing. And Job gets boils all over his body. He is sick. Now it's affecting him. Okay? So this is where we find Job. He's lost everything. he's losing his own body at this point, and he doesn't get why anything is happening at all. So we're going to read Job chapter 10 to hear what he has to say about his own condition. So I'm going to ask you to stand if you can, and we're going to read Job chapter 10 from verse 1 to 22. And it says, I am disgusted with my life. Let me complain freely. My bitter soul must complain. I will say to God, don't simply condemn me. Tell me the charge you are bringing against me. What do you gain by oppressing me? Why do you reject me, the work of your own hands, while smiling on the schemes of the wicked? Are your eyes like those of a human? Do you see the things only as people see them? Is your lifetime only as long as ours? Is your life so short that you must quickly probe for my guilt and search for my sin? Although you know I'm not guilty, no one can rescue me from your hands. You formed me with your hands. You made me, yet now you completely destroy me. Remember that you made me from dust. You will turn me back to dust so soon. Will you turn me back to dust so soon? You guided my conception and formed me in the womb. You clothed me with skin and flesh, and you knit my bones and sinews together. You gave me life and showed me your unfailing love. My life was preserved by your care. Yet your real motive, your true intent, was to watch me. And if I sinned, you would not forgive me. If I am guilty, too bad for me. And even if I'm innocent, I can't hold my head high because I'm filled with shame and misery. And if I hold my head high, you hunt me like a lion and display your awesome power against me. Again and again, you witness against me. You pour out your growing anger on me and bring fresh armies against me. Why then did you deliver me from my mother's womb? Why didn't you let me die at birth? It would have been as though I had never existed, going directly from the womb to the grave. I have only a few days left, so leave me alone, that I may have a moment of comfort before I leave, never to return, for the land of darkness and utter gloom. It is a land as dark as midnight, a land of gloom and confusion, where even the light is as dark as midnight. This is the word of the Lord. Let's pray. God, thank you for your word. I pray that you speak to us this morning. Speak to the very parts of our souls that need to hear you speak this morning. Help us open up to you. Help us let you in once again. In Jesus' name, amen. We may take our seats. So from reading that, you can see why I thought the pastor surely hates me. Where do I begin from this particular chapter? In fact, all I can say is I relate to Job on a level, right? And I'll tell you, here's how I relate. I've shared before my story in this church, and some know, but earlier this year, I was diagnosed with mild depression and chronic anxiety. These things have plagued me for over 5 years, but this year was when I finally got a proper diagnosis. I was like, okay, so this is what's happening. And my therapist said to me, hey, what we need to do is cognitive therapy. We just need to help you learn how to manage your day-to-day, learn how to manage this depression, learn how to manage the anxiety so it's not hindering you from doing your day-to-day things. And I thought, great, let's do that. I'm a planner, so I love plans. I love when people show me this is where we're heading. And I thought, yes, I get you. I see what you're doing. Let's do it. So every week, faithfully, for about 4 or 5 months, I went into her office. Went in, we did our sessions, and I came out, sometimes feeling great, sometimes not so great. But I was working through it, and I thought, yeah, I'm doing great. I'm working through this. I'm doing the work, right? By the 5th month, there was one particular week, nothing was going well with me. I couldn't get up. And when I did, I had to convince myself as to why I need human interaction, as to why I need to get out of bed, as to why I need to go to the job I love, as to why I need to talk to the friends I love, as to why I need to talk to my mother who I love, who's just in the next room, who wants to chat with me. I had to constantly convince myself because I was feeling quite depressed and my anxiety was through the roof. tiny things were triggering me. And I wasn't sure. I was like, what is happening? You know, I thought we were doing great. What's going on? So that week I go into my therapist's office and I say, hey, I don't get it. I've been doing the work. I really have been doing the work. You know I've been doing the work. And she said, yes, you have been doing the work. However, from the progress that I've seen, for the things that we've been talking about, you haven't really been improving. It's actually been a bit of a slow decline. So for me, this makes sense, the week that you're having. And I thought, well, that's just great. I thought I was getting better, but here I am. And so she said, what I'm going to do is strongly suggest, which she meant, I'm actually telling you to do this, you're going to go and get medication. Because from what I've seen and how I've assessed you over the past 5 months, this is not just a trauma you haven't processed that needs processing. This is a chemical imbalance in your brain. Certain things are just not going right. The centers where that make you happy when something good happens are just not working. So instead, I'll be happy for literally all of 2 seconds and then just back to a slump. And she said, yes, that is why I'm saying you need to go on medication. And I struggled quite heavily that week, knowing this is what I'm looking forward to. This is what I'm looking forward to at the end of the week. I'm going to go and get medication for this. I'm going to be on antidepressants. And I remember that morning that I was going to the hospital to do this, I thought to myself, God, how did I get here? It's almost like one day I was okay, functioning just right, and the next, everything went off. And I can't explain it. I cannot explain this. Where do I even begin to explain this? And then I thought, the medication that my therapist is saying I need to get is something that will help me to be able to just have a little more energy in my life. Because the way I felt was like my entire being is refusing to be awake. That's how it felt. And she said, yeah, this will help you to actually get better. It will help you to, you know, be able to wake up and go ahead and do the things. And I thought, okay, that's great. Like, that's really awesome. I like that. I want to do that. However, I know friends, I know family in the same house that I'm living in that just wake up. They don't have the same struggle I'm having. They don't have to think twice about what they're doing, where they're going, who they're going to talk to. Is it going to trigger them or not? Are they going to be depressed at the middle of the day? Is anxiety, are they going to have a full-blown panic attack in the minibus while going home? Is that, like, my friends do not think about these things. However, this is my reality. So therefore, if other people are able to just move through the day, are able to just go and do the things that they need to do, I must be a factory fault. And you know what a factory fault is, right? Say, for example, Barbie dolls go to a factory. They do them. One comes out without an eye. They're like, oh, it's a factory fault. The factory made a mistake. And that's how I felt. I thought, I must be a mistake. And if I'm a factory fault, therefore the one who made me, i.e. God, he must have made a mistake. This is the one mistake he has made. We found it. I am that mistake, because how is this happening? How is this my life? And this was my processing during that day as I was going and getting the medication. And so when I was reading this chapter, I thought back to that time and I thought, yeah, actually, I relate to what Job is saying. However, I just didn't voice it out. I wasn't able to tell God, why did you even for me? Why did you let me live? I thought it. I didn't say it out loud. And I think that's a lot of us when we're going through painful things or going through loss. There's lots of questions and things that are going on within that we can't voice it out, right? And we may get to a point like where Job is. And I think here's the interesting things, three interesting things I found that I felt very relatable to Job as he was going through this pain, is that he was asking almost three particular questions. Number one, he questioned God's power and strength in a situation. Right? Verse 4 to 5, he says, are your eyes like those of a human? Do you see things only as people see them? Is your lifetime only as long as ours? Is your life so short? He's asking, are you just as human as the rest of us? Then you don't have any power at all. And number two, Job goes on to question God's love and compassion. In verses 12 to 14, he says, you gave me life and showed me your unfailing love. My life was preserved by your care. Yet your real motive and your true intent was to watch me. And if I sinned, you will not forgive my guilt. He's like, if there is a loving God, fine, if you are as powerful as you are. But if you're loving, how then do you just allow these things to happen? How then have you not rescued me? How then have you not healed me? How then is my life still this way? He's questioning. And thirdly, he also questions the purpose of existence, right? Verses 18 to 19, he says, why then did you deliver me from my mother's womb? Why didn't you let me die at birth? It would be as though I have never existed, going directly from the womb to the grave. What is the point of existence if I feel the way I feel in this moment? If life is not changing, if my circumstances is not changing, what is the point of my life? I should have just died. Womb to grave, that's it. And I think to a level we can relate to that. We can relate to going through something so difficult that we thought, what is the point of me being alive really? Or we thought to ourselves, where is God's love and compassion that I hear every Sunday at church? Oh, we thought, where is that power, that strength that made God create the entire universe? Where is it in this moment? What do I do now? You question all of these things. And that's where Job is. Now, the thing about this chapter that was a little depressing is that you don't hear God's response. There is nowhere in the chapter where God is responding. And when you read the whole book of Job, you will see that it takes 28 chapters before God actually says anything to Job, at least directly to Job. 28 chapters. Now, of course, that 28 chapters could have been 2 minutes after Job complained. It could have been 10 days after Job complained. It could have been 10 years after Job complained. We don't know. But we know that it's taken time before he's actually gotten any answer from God. And isn't that where we are sometimes? We've complained, and there's just silence, dead silence. Nothing is coming from your prayers. Nothing is coming from going to church. It just feels like God has completely shut you out. He's completely silent on your issues. So then how do we move? Because that's our series right now. We're talking about what keeps us going. How do we keep going when we're in the face of such loss and such pain? What do we do? And I think Job answers that as well, of how we can keep going within this chapter. Number one, we let ourselves be honest about how we feel, which we can say we see how Job truly felt in the whole chapter. He is truly saying, this is how I feel. I feel like you don't care. I feel like you're not for me. I feel like you just, like there's no point for me to live. He's truly expressing everything. He is not faking at any point. He is not saying, no, I'm good, when he's not good. Because I think the one thing that Job knew is when you're in the face of pain and loss, faking it till you make it doesn't work. It's never worked with emotions. It will never work. The trouble is that when you continue to try to fake it, the only thing that will happen is it will break. And it will be a little bit irreparable. So Job was honest with how he felt in that moment. He was very honest. So you let yourself be honest with how you feel, with the reality that is on the ground. And number two, you speak of the bitterness in your heart, but let it not be a settled judgment on who God is. Because this is what Job was doing in this chapter. He was questioning the discrepancies he was seeing, right? Because from like verse 12 to 14, he's talking about, well, you protected me, you know? You brought me into this world. You preserved me. You showed me your unfailing love. Yet, this is how I feel. Now, right now, though, I feel like your true intent was just you were waiting for me to mess up and so you can strike me. There's a discrepancy. There's a disconnect. Like the kids say, the math is not mathing, right? It's not. So he's asking, I've known you to be this, but right now my circumstances say this about you. What's going on, man? There's a big disconnect. But not once did Job then say, God is evil or God is unrighteous. He does not say this. So Job speaks of the bitterness that is within, that he's carrying within, but he does not at any point make a settled judgment as to who God is. Because that's the thing. God is still God. It's who he is. However, the way we interpret our circumstances or what's going on in our lives, we may choose to see God in a different light because of what's happening. Because all we have is right here, is right now. It's that pain. It's that suffering. That's all we have. Whereas God sees the full picture. He sees everything else. So then you who sees only in part cannot make a settled judgment about somebody else who sees the full picture. You cannot judge him who's seen the full picture. Right? And this is what Job is doing. He's saying, yo, you're God, but there's some disconnect because of the situation that I'm in right now. And thirdly, you pray. You pray. That is the third thing that keeps you going in the face of loss. Prayer. Because this chapter is not Job speaking to his wife or his friends or mumbling under his breath to himself. It is him pleading to God. It is him saying to God, hey, I need to talk to you. And here's what I need to talk about. This is Job's prayer to God. He is not mincing any words. He's just saying exactly how it is for him in that moment. And it is a prayer. Because a prayer is a conversation we have with God. And if it's a conversation we have with God, shouldn't we then be honest about what's actually going on? Right? It's like a friend who you've had a grievance with. A close friend you've had a grievance with. You may have heard them say something as you walked by. And then instantly you're like, oh, so that's how they think about me. All right, that's cool. I'm just going to walk away. And they come to you and all you're saying is, yeah, we're good. You know, I love you. You're my best friend. We're cool and everything. This friendship will not last because you will resent them for the thing that they did. And they will not know and they will keep on, you know, going about life. And it will hurt you more to see them just going about life, not addressing what you heard them say, where they're like, you know, I don't know anything. It's when you sit down with them and address it and like, hey, so when I was passing by there, I heard this, you say this. Like, what's happening? You're not making a judgment as to this is who your friend is. You're saying, this is what I heard, and it was a disconnect, and I'm wondering what's going on. And then they can say, no, well, you only heard in part. This was the full conversation. This is what happened. This is the full context of what I was saying. Right? And instantly, you are able to repair a friendship because you were able to talk about it and say, this is what's happening, and hear their side. And so in prayer, we're talking to God and saying, hey, I'm seeing things and I'm hearing things that are disconnected to who you are and who I've known you to be. So what's happening? You know, what's happening? I'm not going to go and talk about it with my friend. I'm going to come and talk about it with you because my grievance is with you, God. This is where I have the problem. There's a disconnect, and it's with you, and I want to talk about it with you. Job prayed about it. And that's what we can do because, again, we only know in part. Job did not know the conversation that the devil and God had. We're the ones who know that because now we're reading about it. However, he didn't know that in his time. He's just like, I'm just filled with calamity all over. You know, I'm sick. My children are dead. Most of my stuff. I'm poor now. You know, because I've lost almost everything. So he doesn't know the full context of everything that's been happening to him. And so he prayed. He spoke to the guy who thought, you're the one who knows everything. You're the one who created this universe. You must know something. So I'm going to tell you, this is exactly how I feel about all of the things that are going on right now. So that's what keeps us going. In pain and in loss, be Be honest with how you feel. Don't fake it till you make it. Be honest how you feel. Speak of the bitterness that's within your heart, the pain that is within your heart. Speak about it. But don't let it be a judgment about God. Don't let it be a judgment, a full judgment on who God is based on your own circumstances. And number three, you pray. You pray about it because that's what you can do. You pray about it. So this is what I want us to take away today. To start off with that prayer, that lamentful prayer that says, God, I'm at the end of my wits. I'm at the end of everything. Now, I'll tell you this. Within the moment of going through therapy the first time, getting my diagnosis, getting my medication, it was a hard ride that I constantly said, God, like, where are you, fam? Like, you say you're here, but where are you? In hindsight, now that I'm doing better, now that I feel great, I look back and I think, well, he was there when he connected me to a therapist, when he provided somebody to help me process what's going on up there, because I'd been struggling for about 5 years and didn't know what really it was, right? When he provided that, when he provided somebody who sat with me and listened and said, actually, this is what's going to help you, medication. I didn't like it, but when I did it, now I look back and I think, that's God. Because I could have kept on going and just not knowing, and I don't even know where I'd have been if I just kept going. But here was God preserving my life like he preserved Job's life in the midst of his calamities as the devil was doing his thing with Job. God had said to the devil, I will preserve his life. His life is mine. I'm preserving it. And sometimes, unfortunately, we only see things better in hindsight. So today I want us to pray. If we're in a place of pain, or whatever things we've maybe even buried deep that we've never wanted to bring back up or to even think about, because they're too painful for us, I want us to pray that prayer of lament, that uncensored prayer with God, and say, hey, this is honestly how I feel. But also, this is who I've known you to be, or even heard you to be. But this is not what I see, and I need to connect back to you. So as the worship team comes up, and as we sing our last song, I'm going to ask you all to stand. And as we sing this last song, I want us to prayerfully think through our lives and pray through it and say, hey, this is where I'm at. Be honest with where you actually are in your lives. Let's pray. God, you are good. Even now, even when our circumstances say otherwise, even when things in our lives look a little different from who we've known you to be, you are here, you are with us. God, remind us. Remind us that you're welcoming us into you. That you have said, come to me, all who are burdened, and I will give you rest. And our rest comes when we're honest with you about where we're at, because in our reality is where you meet us. So God, may we be real this morning. May we be real to you. God, we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
I invite you to stand up.